The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, get ready for the inaugural Back Tee Golf Classic coming up Monday, September 29th at Gowanda Country Club. It's a full day of golf, community, and giving back. The car giveaway and a par 3 hole-in-1 contest, a $10,000 cash prize putting contest, raffles, silent auction, and more. All proceeds go to the Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital. Spots are limited. Register now at backteegolfclassic.com. Let's help and make a difference. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. 803-0550 is the phone number here on WGR. Jordan Phillips is coming back to the Bills, reportedly, and he has sent out on Instagram, on his own Instagram, a picture of his locker at the Bills facilities. And there's two things to notice. One, it doesn't say his last name. It says Jordan Big Phil. So he's running with his nickname on the locker plate. And he's wearing a new number because Joey Bosa is wearing number 97. And he's going to be wearing number 52, which I think is a tough number for a defensive tackle. That is a middle linebacker number. I can't think of a 52 playing defensive line that has felt like a good player ever. Yeah,
52 is there's so many of these now since they changed the jersey number rules where these guys can wear whatever they want.
Yeah.
Just do not make sense to me in my brain. And this is definitely on that list.
Yeah. I remember thinking, like, when Marcel Darius played at Alabama, he wore 57. Mm-hmm. And I thought that looked cool. I thought that looked good. Some difference between the 7 and the 2 here, though, because 52 doesn't strike me as a very...
That's interesting, because 2 and 7 are visually pretty similar, if you think
are
about
they?
It.
Are they? 2 and 7?
Two.
There was a race car driver that used to do an upside down number 2 as a number 7.
Okay.
I remember that. I remember seeing that as a kid, like in NASCAR, and
yeah,
really confused.
Put a poll up. Does a 2 and a 7 look visually? I'm just kidding. I'm looking at 52 in Bills history, and I can't find a defensive lineman.
Yeah, like, everyone's a linebacker.
The closest, yeah, like Preston Brown. The closest I've got is Arthur Motes, who is more of an edge rusher, right? And also a linebacker. So that's the closest that I think you're going to get. So Jordan Phillips expected to come back to the Bills in the next few days. And again, we've been talking about it today. Like, do not know what that's going to do to the 53-man roster. I think the money saved on Daquan Jones makes that look like the most appealing choice.
Yeah.
Rather than giving up on a third-round pick. But
yeah, I've given up on Carter this early, I think, would be a really tough blow. In that, even more so because of the context of that draft specifically, mm-hmm, it was such a huge draft for them. And to not, like, 1 year in, acknowledge that pick was not worth it and that was a mistake,
yep,
is a really tough thing to admit. But I think if it's the right move, you got to do it. But it seems like you wouldn't want to give up on that guy that early. Because he's done some stuff, I thought, last year that he popped and I thought looked good at times. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't had a great spring to what everybody's saying. He's been kind of invisible. But he's a young guy. You want to hope that he can kind of fight through that. And
yeah,
cutting him or trading him, you're not going to get the third-round pick back for him. You're not going to get anything close to that back. And if you cut him, you're getting nothing. So...
right, late round pick swap, maybe, right, at the, like, you're not getting anything of value. The worst sign for him was that he was made inactive so many times last,
right,
year. That he had that one pop play against Houston. But I remember Joe Marino on Locked On Bills pointing out as last year was going on, because I think some thought, like, oh, like, after he had that couple of big moments against Houston, like, all right, this is going pretty well. And I remember Joe breaking down, like, this is not going great. And then the Bills must have agreed because they made him inactive for 5 games in a row.
Right.
And then even after that, he did not play much after he was made inactive. I mean, he played in garbage time a little bit. He played a little bit against the Rams and the Lions. He did not play in the postseason for the Bills last year. So the trust factor, like the trust factor was, we think we need to go get guys that have been here
right.
and replace you with Quentin Jefferson job. Off the street. So I guess that's the biggest pessimistic view of what he is right now as an asset. I think Bills fans do a pretty good job, though, of not thinking about, I think this is true, at least we don't get the calls about it, or you don't see it on Twitter all the time, about belaboring the revisionist history of a trade.
Yeah.
Because in this instance, we had one call about it earlier. Carter being the piece that the Bills basically get for trading down with Kansas City last season.
Right.
That worthy trade, what they get out of it is they move up from round four to round three and they draft Dwayne Carter. And if you're already giving up on that or that's not looking good, then you might feel like the Bills got nothing for making that trade. That's never been my problem with the trade. I've always thought that that trade was more about just doing a deal with Kansas City in the first place. I would just never do it. They would be on my blocked calls list.
Right. You just don't even pick up that phone call at the draft.
But if you do play that game, Carter's not making it look great. We definitely don't do it with the Mahomes trade. And that's mostly because Allen has become so amazing.
Right.
And right now, I mean, you saw it a lot this offseason. You got people ranking him above Mahomes. So that, I think, helped that. If Allen didn't become Allen, then maybe it would be every day in here. I'm not sure. And nobody brings up that they traded away the pick for Jefferson. Again, why? Diggs was amazing for 4 years.
Right.
Sure, now you might rather have the other guy, but no one's worried about it because you got what you wanted out of that deal. This one, I wonder if this one becomes different. Because this might be one where you don't get what you want out of it. But it hasn't happened yet. And I think part of that is there still is a belief in Coleman.
Right.
That,
I agree.
You know, in the Mahomes trade, you got what you wanted out of it. You got Josh Allen and you got a bunch of other stuff in, you know, coinciding moves after. In the first round pick for Diggs trade, sure, you didn't get that guy, but you got what you wanted. You got the elite number one receiver for 4 years. In this instance, what did you want? You wanted a really good receiver like they did, but I want something else on top of it that's going to make me better by trading up and getting this defensive tackle. And you could still get what you want out of that. Carter could even still become something.
Right.
But it's kind of the same thing. Worthy can be good all he wants. If Coleman becomes a real player for the Bills, nobody will care.
No. Nobody will even remember.
Nobody will care.
And that's how it always goes. If it works out, everybody forgets about what you did wrong or what people perceive as you doing wrong.
Even if you would rather have the other side
exactly.
in a vacuum.
You'll just forget about it because you're like, I got the good thing. It's shiny. I'm cool. We're good. Whereas in this kind of situation, like where Coleman is where he's at, where it's not looked, you know, great yet. He's had a good camp from what everybody's said.
Yep.
But it's not translated onto the field just yet for him.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then people think about it. And that's why I think we get one call about it today, which is more than we would ever get about it any other time.
In a year.
Right. Exactly. And so I think because of that, it just illustrates your point that you're just not – people will forget about it if it works out.
Right.
If it doesn't, it will stick with you.
The trade does still annoy me, though. I won't. Oh. It's just not for these reasons.
Right.
It is because of doing a deal with Kansas City and giving them what they wanted, which was Worthy. And I don't think it was guaranteed they were going to get Worthy otherwise. That's why they're calling you. They're calling you because they don't think they could stay there.
I doubt that they would be – their first thought would be, all right, let's see if the Bills will do it. They probably tried with other teams first and saw, like, nobody's hitting. I guess we got to try with Buffalo and see if they'll do it. And they did.
Right. McConkey also
Yeah, that's the one that burns to me the most.
Yeah, I know.
Awesome.
Like, what? Looking back on that for a moment, because that's not. It's always Worthy versus Coleman. Worthy versus Coleman. McConkey's the best player of the three, easily.
Yeah,
and he goes last of the three. We talked about him a lot, right? Like he was on our board in here. He was on the wide receiver big board. That was always met with, well, I've got Shakir here, and McConkey's probably a slot guy.
Right.
And he was. I mean, you look at last year, he played 65% in the slot. He had the sixth most slot snaps at receiver in the league last season. And this year, there's a little bit of a belief that they'll do more with him on the outside, because when they did put him outside last year in that 35%, it went well. So maybe they do more of that. They brought in Keenan Allen. You know Keenan Allen's not playing outside anymore. So right. McConkey might go out there. And he looks like, I mean, he was on the NFL's top 100 list, if you care about that. He put up crazy good numbers. And he's never brought up. It's always Worthy versus Coleman. But McConkey is the one that if you could, in a magic wand, you could go back in time.
You're picking him.
That's the guy you want. 100%. He's awesome. He gets open relentlessly. He's great after the catch. I expect him to be a great receiver for a long time in the NFL. And Coleman and Worthy, I would more be around like, oh, they'll probably be pretty good.
Yeah, they'll be all right. They'll be players probably. But I think McConkey, you can see becoming a true number one. And I don't know that Worthy or Coleman are really destined for that.
Would you think, here's a question, will Keon Coleman ever have the stat line in a season that McConkey just did? Ooh. So in his entire career, 1 year, he's only got to do it one time. Will Coleman ever have a year like McConkey did last year, which was 82 catches, 1,149 yards, and 7 touchdowns? He doesn't even have to do that to be a good player.
No.
And I probably would say he won't get to that.
I would bet he'll pass that touchdown number maybe even this year.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't think he's going to catch
receptions.
That many balls. I just don't think he's going to do it. It's
yeah.
his style, unless they transition him to a little more sort of short yardage stuff like we talked about on Friday, right?
Big slot.
That's in that world, I could definitely see him doing that. Because if he's catching, that's another whatever, 3 or 4 catches a game that are easier sort of receptions that he can make something happen with.
Yep.
I could believe it then, but I don't think the Bills are ever going to do that with him because of Shakir.
No, and I also don't think they need to, right?
Right.
Part of how McConkey gets so many last year is the Chargers had nothing else.
Exactly.
Well, they had Palmer. Palmer they had, but like Quentin Johnson was starting for them all year, and he was a disaster, so they didn't have much. Mike on a cell is next up. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I want to kind of, you know, we've talked in the past about Bean and drafts and stuff like that, but one of the things that bothers me is the lack of impact free agents. I mean, think about when's the last time that we picked up a free agent that became an impact player. We've whiffed on Samuel. We whiffed on Sherfield. We whiffed on Hardy. The two defensive linemen that we just picked up in the, you know, they're suspended for 6 games. When's the last, I mean, Mac Hollins, you can't really call him an impact player. He became a fifth wide receiver. But it seems like all these free agents that he picks up never really pan out, and which kind of boggles my mind.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I mean, they haven't had as much money to go after free agents in recent years, but it's a good question. No, I wouldn't say it's Mac Hollins. I mean, he led the team in snaps, but, you know, what are we doing? We're not measuring receivers based on snaps. He had 378 yards. I mean, I don't want to go all the way back to Poyer and Hyde. It's so long ago now. You know, you look around their depth chart and how many of their guys that are going to be relied upon this year were brought in via free agency. Like, we'll see what Palmer does. Connor McGovern has been a good interior lineman for them for a couple years via free agency. Taylor Rapp, to me, is just a guy. So, it's a valid question. You're hoping this year there'll be more of that. Bosa, Palmer, Maybe Trey White coming back. I don't know what you want to count him as. But Vaughn would have been the answer. Vaughn was on his way to being that answer. And he's got hurt. And even last year, you know, like, Vaughn last year, by all the pass rushing metrics, was their best. And he's unable to play first and second down, basically. But he did end up with 6 sacks in 13 games, playing a third of the snaps. So, if he had been capable of playing a full role, I mean, you were talking about a double-digit sack guy, even last year, after the injury. But, obviously, he was just so limited that I don't even know if I want to say he was the answer. It's a good question. You're hoping this year will give you the list. Like, oh, who are their best recent free agent acquisitions? Palmer and Bosa. You'd want them to be number one and number two of recent years. Not going all the way back to like Poyer and Hyde. Extendo Sports when we come back, and then we'll get you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.